Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
molecular of thymine. It's one of the bases of deoxyribonucleic acid, DNA, and there are four bases, adenine, thymine, and cysteine, and guanine. And I don't have the pronunciations of those all that well, and part of this molecular tour is getting me into remembering the various things. So I've got adenine very well in hand, and adenosine, and looking at the ribos, sugars which attach to these bases, and sort of the sugar as a jack of all trades. So we'll just go adenine has two hydrogen bonds which can operate it. This is something which can release a hydrogen and pick up a pair of can release a hydrogen between something similar which also takes up a hydrogen, so this can actually bond with the hydrogen bonds, can form the backbone or the sort of the, if you like, the spinal cord down the center of the double backbones, intertwined backbones of DNA. And so I'm just remembering the adenine has it's a hexagon mounted onto a pentagon. The pentagon's got two nitrogens, and one of the nitrogens there is got a hydrogen on it and can actually link in with the ribose sugar. Now, it's not that it's normal ribose sugar. We'll have to get into that a little bit more closely before I start on it. And so going up onto the hexagon, which is mounted onto the pentagon, which is the pentagon is mounted onto the ribose or deoxyribose sugar, which we'll talk a bit in a little while. And on that, on the hexagon, there's a amine and two in-ring nitrogens, in that hexagon. So essentially, a base has, I think this is true for all bases, they've got two in-ring nitrogens. But in this, the adenosine, there's an additional adding in of a, amine group, so you get three nitrogens lining up in a row, but only two of those are actually involved in the double bonding, hydrogen bonding with the thymine, C-H-Y-mine, and I've got to remember there's two types of bases, or the bases which stick together are the pentagon hexagon ones, which I think are purines, and pyrimines is the hexagon ones. So the hexagon ones, so there's a hexagon and a pentagon hexagon. Pentagon hexagon links onto a hexagon. In this case, the A and adenine and thymine. Now the thymine is which I want to give Mercury tour of, and then after that I'll break off because I'm just really stretching my mental facilities to think about that. So the thymine has a just a hexagon of atoms, so there's six atoms in a ring, and it goes that's right. It's got that extra bit on it as I'm sort of thinking about it. So it goes a carbon, nitrogen, carbon, nitrogen, carbon, carbon, back again in your ring. And starting off on your carbon number one. Oh yeah, so carbon number one has a methyl group, which is a carbon with three hydrogens attached to it, a little spinny sort of little knob added to it. Carbon number two has an oxygen, double bonded oxygen, then a nitrogen, and And then the next carbon long has an oxygen associated with it. And then the next molecule around, or the next atom around, is a nitrogen. And that nitrogen is your bonding nitrogen. So all these bases use a spare nitrogen in their, in the cases of adenine, in their pentagon ring. And this thionine is a basic, just a simple hexagon. It's not a figure eight. It's just a simple naught. That's a way to think of it. And that second nitrogen is used in its, actual in-ring nitrogen is used, for its binding to the deoxyribose sugar. And these goes together. So the nitrogen and oxygen, the first oxygen and first nitrogen bond to the, first nitrogen and second nitrogen of the adenine. So those two bases go together. Now the important thing to know about bases is that they're a fairly constrained molecule because they're involved with rings. They can't flex. They have a little bit of a pi bond to keep them flexed. And they have this, attachment to the ribose sugar. Now, this is one of the things I sort of had remembered, the ribose sugar from ATP. So it's adenosine triphosphate. And what's happened here is that there are three phosphates hooked onto your ribose sugar. Now, the ribose sugar is basically a teapot of five carbon atoms are lined with a chain sticking carbon number 2 to carbon number 5, and oxygen. So it's sort of like its own sort of little mini cycloester. It's a sugar and it has lots of OHs on it. And for each bond, each carbon, there's an OH, which is it's sort of interesting to see. And that on the non-spout side of the ribose, there's it bonds with that to the base adenine. So the ribose and adenine, ribose sugar and adenine combination is the basis of ATP, the energy storage. And I sort of looked at it and I said, oh, I looked at the diagram of this just to remember, and I said, I'm sure that ribose has an extra OH. So a ribose is hooked to the adenine or thionine, and it's got an oxygen, a carbon, and that carbon is linked to the base. And the next one, carbon long, I said, I'm sure there's an OH. I remember looking at ATP, I saw it has an OH. There's something weird. I think they've made a mistake. They've dropped an oxygen and an OH off it. It's just got a hydrogen there where there should be an oxygen. That's weird. The next one is an OH, which is good because then that OH binds to a phosphate. So that's got one phosphate link. Then the next carbon over then bonds to another, methanol group. This has got a carbon with an OH, and that OH bonds to another phosphate. So it goes phosphate, sugar, phosphate, sugar, phosphate, sugar in the chain. That's how it links. And the sugars have this extra carbon held up. They're all sort of almost begging to be bound to, because it's a carbon which is bound into an oxygen chain across it there. And so between the two phosphates, you've got an oxygen carbon with the side chain of the base, and then carbon with an OH. But they've forgotten the OH. There's something missing. And then I read it a little bit, and I said, it's deoxyribose nucleic acid. It means that it's ribose sugar with the oxygen taken off that particular carbon bond. Unless you really look at it, you don't realize that the DNA, which is DE oxy, OXY, That means the oxygen's been taken off. Ribose sugar, nucleic acid. Just like, oh. And so I've been so dumb that I was always spelling DNA as deoxy. I thought it meant two oxygens. D, but it means oxygen's removed from the ribose. That's what deoxy means. It's been removed. And when you suddenly see it, you say, oh, and RNA is different. RNA is built like DNA, but with that OH in there. That's the difference between DNA and RNA. Besides the bases being different, the actual base, the backbone is different. It's with ribose sugar, whereas in DNA is made by deoxyribose sugar. Now, the entire thing is that this removing of the oxygen, the hydrogen oxygen, allows the sugar to fold flat in the double helix. That's why you don't get a double helix of RNA. This beautiful, beautiful thing in terms of the deoxyribose sugar, they're taking that OH from that ribose sugar. So that's the deoxyribose. So if you can go, it's going around as oxygen, carbon with a chain to the base, then a carbon. Now, in that, in ribose, it's got an OH. Without deoxyribose, it's just got carbon. The next one is carbon with an OH, and that OH can, in a chain, link onto a phosphate. Then a carbon, which is linked to a carbon with an OH, and then that can be linked onto a phosphate. So it forms a phosphate ribose polymer. With the chains, the bases added to it. But when it has that little OH taken out of the ribose sugar, where it's a deoxyribose sugar, that allows it to come through. And what I'm memorizing now is the adenine and thiamine. And just to go again for the thiamine, so it's burnt into my memory, well, starting from the methyl group, which is three hydrogens into a carbon, bonds onto the carbon chain, ring around, and this goes going sort of anti-clockwise up to the left, in the way I vision it, a carbon with a double-bonded oxygen, a nitrogen, with a hydrogen, which is used for bonding. Another, the next one on, which is, this is the fourth one, is a carbon with a oxygen with it, then a nitrogen, and that nitrogen with the hydrogen is what bonds to the ribose sugar. And then a carbon, and then you're back home again. So that's the way it goes. I think if I can memorize it again, I can sort of picture it. And I suppose what I've learnt again is just watching it really careful is that ribose is not ribose sugar. It's deoxyribose sugar. And so it's really, really obvious. And seeing that deoxyribose sugar has got these things, three bonding sites, two bonding sites for the chain, linked chains. You can imagine a linked chain and one for the base. And it's got that flexibility that it can actually stretch and coil. And as it stretches out, the base can change angles. And so it's just one of the things I try and understand why it does coil or how it coils and how you get the bases, I suppose, repelling each other. So the interesting thing is it doesn't really bounce up in a ball, it actually bounces into a coil, and there's a repulsion between the strands of the coil, keeping it at a certain spacing, but also is a repulsion between that strand and another unrelated strand. So DNA is a springy molecule. It's a self-repulsive molecule, which has got all its attraction on the inside. So it's an interesting molecule to look at. So that is my molecular of thymine, and I'll see if I can get it locked away in my memory, and I'll try and do the periodic table soon. Thanks for listening. Next time we'll be going off to finishing off the MRI as written by the Wikipedia article. I might read another article straight after it to see if I can nail MRI, because there's an obviously a lot more information which is glossed over by this article. Thanks a lot for listening. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.